Bow for just a brief word of prayer. O Lord, show me yourself within your word. Show me myself and show me my Savior. And make the book live to me. Amen. So as we are closing Mark chapter 10 this morning, a couple of things we should understand here. This is the last healing miracle performed by Jesus in the Gospel of Mark. From here on out, Jesus does not perform any healing miracles in the Gospel. This miracle, this encounter, happens in all three of Synoptic Gospels. It is found not only in Mark, but in Matthew and Luke as well. In Matthew, it is found in chapter 20, verses 29 to 34. There are elements that are very similar to Mark's with a few variations. And in Luke, it is found in Luke chapter 18, verses 35 to 43, and is nearly an exact copy of Mark. But there's a few variations there. And one thing we need to recognize is where this comes in Mark's book, in the chapter in Mark's gospel. What have we seen repeated again and again in Mark chapter 10? We see, well, even through back in chapter 9, we see a discussion of greatness and what greatness looks like in the kingdom. And there's a illustration that's used. Sometimes it was, he called the child. And he said, one like one of these. And now we're going to see a healing miracle following another discussion over greatness and serving as a disciple, and we're going to see a healing surrounded around this blind beggar on the side of the road in Jericho. So as we look at, now, the guy's name is Bartimaeus. I got tired of writing or typing Bartimaeus, and so I started calling him Barty. Barty and I got kind of close over the week. So I'm just going to refer to him as Barty throughout. So we're going to see Barty's experience with Jesus here outside of Jericho. And the first thing we see in verses 46 to 48 is a blind man's sight. A blind man's sight. And we're going to see, I've titled this, Blind Barty Can See. And we're going to take a look at that here. Beginning in verse 46, now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. Mark doesn't include any account or any record of what Jesus was doing in Jericho or of his stay in Jericho. He simply records that Jesus arrived, and then he gives a statement of leaving. Now, there is some discussion around this. Some argue that there was an old Jericho that Jesus left, and this was newer Jericho that he was coming to. This doesn't quite mesh with Luke's account where he says Jesus was drawing near to Jericho. So there's a little bit of discussion. It's not a major concern. Enough to say that Jesus was right around outside Jericho, either maybe returning from drawing near to it, returning after a day of being out, or drawing near to it for the first time. It doesn't really matter. He was around Jericho. We know Jericho very specifically. Luke places this account with Bartimaeus before Jesus enters Jericho, as we were kind of discussing. Though Luke doesn't name Bartimaeus, he just mentions a blind beggar. But Luke does include some account of what Jesus' stay in Jericho. And in Luke 19, 1 through 21, which is the immediately next section in Luke, we have the account of Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector. And immediately following that, still in Jericho, as I understand it, is the parable of the minas. So Luke gives an account. Matthew and Mark, he was at Jericho and he moved on. We just kind of moved on from there. But both Mark and Matthew record that there is a large crowd following Jesus. Now, this crowd was at the very least other pilgrims coming down from Galilee, going to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. Okay, that's the road Jesus was taking. This is the road that many of these Galileans were taking. Now, it is possible that there is, just because this is Jesus, and there was a level of popularity, as we've seen in earlier parts of Mark, he drew a crowd, a large crowd. And Mark says, a great multitude. So there may have been some, within the pilgrims, there may have been some gawkers just following Jesus. I think also likely that there may have been other followers of Jesus beyond just the 12, probably friends of Jesus, friends of the ministry, if you will, that are coming down out of Galilee with him and are a part of the band going down. Now, as I mentioned, Mark is the only one to give us the name of this blind man. He calls him Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. Now, again, Mark records both the Aramaic and the translation for his readers. What do I mean? Well, Bartimaeus, it's not Bartimaeus, it's Bartimaeus. It means son of Timaeus. We see an example of this in Matthew chapter 16, where Jesus turns and says, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah." Simon, son of Jonah. But what Mark's recording here doesn't seem to be just another translation of the Aramaic to Greek. If we were to look into the Greek, the structure of his sentence is different in other places that he has done this. Typically, he puts the Aramaic portion first and then follows "which means" and gives the translation. The way the structure is, he actually names the son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, Bartimaeus, telling us likely that Barty was a known member of the early church in Jerusalem. Hence, Mark mentions him by name. So Bartimaeus seems to be used as his personal name, while the title son of Timaeus was just used to indicate his relation, a paternal relation. And we'll see a little bit more evidence later down that is likely that adds support to Bartimaeus being known in the early church. One of the other small variations between the synoptics here is that Mark and Luke mention only one blind man. Matthew mentions two blind men begging on the side of the road by Jericho. And this is not the first time Matthew and Mark have had this divergence. With the demoniac of the Gerasenes back in chapter 5, Mark only mentions one. Matthew, I believe, mentions two. But only one is recorded of having conversation with Jesus in both places in Matthew. And I think likely that's what we have here. Bartimaeus may have been a little bit more of a leader among the two and was the one that was really engaging with Jesus. So Mark includes his name and records that portion of it and seems to focus on that portion of it. And so does Luke. Now, if Barty was a known figure in the early church, then he was being remembered here as an example of Jesus's healing power during his earthly ministry. So as we walk into verse 47, "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.'" So Barty is said to be, is at the side of the road begging. At this time, to be blind was to be a beggar. This was how he was able to make money. This was how he was able to get food to survive. This is what he was able to do. So why was he on the side of the road outside Jericho on this day? He knew the pilgrims were heading down to Jerusalem. He was set up in a place where he could likely make the most or be able to gain the most. He knew he would be visible and be able to make an appeal to a broader number of people than he likely could have. If he was around Jericho most of the time, he probably didn't get a whole lot from everybody year round. But at a festival time, when the pilgrims are heading down to Jerusalem, this is the time to be there. Much like when we jump, if you were to jump back into, forward into Acts chapter 3, the lame man begging at the beautiful gate at the temple was where? He was at a very high visible area with a lot of foot traffic, trying to get the most that he could by for begging there. So it seems that he would just plan to be there, but likely coincidental that he was there on this day when Jesus passed through, or in the sovereignty of God, he was there on that day when Jesus passed through. And like the lame man at the beautiful gate, he was there by the sovereignty of God when Peter and John went in. Now, Barney hears the crowd. Maybe he's hearing some murmuring and some discussion. He's hearing some remarks, and he hears them say that this is Jesus of Nazareth passing by. He's obviously heard enough about Jesus to have put some things together, because when he hears that this is Jesus of Nazareth, this causes him to start calling out for Jesus. This is likely after the events of John 11 with Jesus raising Lazarus. So that news has been spreading. Jericho's not that far away from Bethany. That news has been spreading. It probably got to Bartimaeus as well. So when he hears that this is Jesus of Nazareth passing by, and that's what the crowd is all murmuring about, he starts calling out for Jesus. And he calls out very specifically, "Jesus, Son of David." That's a very specific title. This is a messianic title. It recalls the promises of God to David in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 8 to 16, the Davidic covenant. This title embodies the royal and nationalistic hopes of a restored Israel and the reign of the greater son of David on David's throne, which is part of that covenant, which is the expectation. But by adding this title to Jesus' name, he's identifying Jesus is the one he is claiming as the son of David. He is assigning messianic title to Jesus. There's a level of faith already there. Interestingly enough, this is the only place in the Gospel of Mark where that title is used. This is the only time Mark uses the title Son of David. Typically, Son of Man is used throughout. And I think part of this is because Mark is writing to Gentile Christians. Gentile Christians, to Jesus was more than just the Son of David to Gentile Christians. But Mark is showing Barty's faith in Jesus because he recognized him as the Messiah, the one who could show him the mercy he needed, the one he was looking for, the one he had faith was coming. And he calls out for this mercy. He calls out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." He is calling for Jesus to offer a definite act of mercy toward him. Now, what that act of mercy is left unmentioned at this point. He simply believes Jesus is the Messiah and he can give me an act of mercy. And that is what he's calling out for. He is calling out for a merciful act for himself from the Messiah. Then in verse 48, we see, then many warned him to be quiet. And he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now it says many of the crowd. Likely, I think those were probably people in closest proximity to him. And they began to rebuke Barty, telling him to be quiet, to stop calling out. It's possible that this rebuke to keep silent were from members of the crowd, that this was geared toward his use of the messianic title. Don't call him that. Don't call him that. Don't use that title. But more likely, it was from a contemptuous feeling that this blind man should not be allowed to trouble the rabbi. He's too busy right now. He's not set up to do his healing right now. He's traveling to Passover. He doesn't have time for you right now. Does this sound familiar? Earlier in the chapter, Mark chapter 10, verses 13 to 14, and when they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said, let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. These individuals were hindering Bartimaeus' getting to Jesus because he's not that important right now. Barty didn't let this stop him, though. He didn't let them hinder him. It says he cried out all the more. He was calling out to Jesus to a greater extent than what he was already doing. Whatever ruckus he was causing, however loud he was shouting louder. If he had a pan that he was banging it harder. He was trying to get Jesus' attention. And beginning in verse 49, we see the response of Jesus. The response of Jesus. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. Whatever ruckus Barty was causing catches Jesus' attention, and he stops in the road and commands for Barty to come to him. Now, members of this same fickle crowd come to Barty telling him to be quiet. Now come to him saying that he is called to come to Jesus. Now, whether these were the same people that were rebuking him, whether these were other people, we don't know. We don't want to read too much into the they of this sentence, but just that it refers to the crowd in general. And not any particular group of people. However, I think we can speculate a little bit that this may be some of Jesus's followers. If I don't think the 12, I think Mark would have mentioned if it was some of the 12, but likely some of the other of Jesus's followers that may have been with him. Likely this is the last Passover that Jesus will have on this earth. This is going into Passion Week. So we know the ladies that helped support the ministry from Galilee were in Jerusalem at the crucifixion. They may have been part of the group. So there were others who were following Jesus, likely there. So they may have gone over to him, gone over to Bartimaeus to tell him this. They tell him, be of good cheer, have courage, take heart, be confident. Rise, get up. He is calling you. He didn't need any explanation. He knew what was going on. Look at verse 50. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. Barty tosses aside his garment. This is the outer garment. This is the outer robe, similar to a cloak. Likely, I think he may have been using this as some sort of blanket or rug in front of him, something to catch the coins or bread that may be tossed to him. He would want to keep this with him. This is normally a little bit heavier material to take the weather. So normally he would want to keep this close to him, but that's not what he does. He tosses it aside so he can get up and get to Jesus. Why is he tossing it aside? He doesn't want to get tripped up. He doesn't want something else to get into his way. He is not going to let this stop him from getting to Jesus. He's removing his own hindrance and going towards Jesus. Nothing was going to keep him from getting to Jesus this moment. Notice the eagerness to get to Jesus, the eager obedience to respond to Jesus' calling. It says that throwing aside his garment, he rose and went to him. The King James, New King James has a word, and good translation is rise, or he rose. The more the modern text, like the ESV, has a different word that I think works better. And it really shows how eager he was to get to Jesus. Here's the same verse in the ESV. And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. This was not just pushing myself up off the ground. This was, I'm getting up as quickly as I can. Jesus is calling, and I'm going to him. The NIV, the CSB, the New American Standard, the ESV all use this word and translate it, sprang up. The eager obedience to get to Jesus. Now, this particular word is only found here in the New Testament, in these modern translations, and it graphically shows the spirited response to Jesus's summons. Now, likely some of those that came to call him, to bring him, I think brought him to Jesus or helped guided him to Jesus. And in verse 51, we see their interaction. Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." At this interaction, Jesus begins the interaction. He says, "What do you want me to do for you?" And his reply is immediate, "Rabboni, that I might receive my sight." His response is an open declaration of faith in Jesus' ability to heal him. Now, the word we have here, Rabboni, this is, honestly, this word is a Greek transliteration, which is not a direct translation. It is, we're going to take this word and make it work as best we can in our language. So I transliterated it, changing the letters to Greek from Aramaic. And this word is a little stronger than just saying rabbi. It comes from the same word that we get rabbi from, but it's a little stronger of a word. And it only appears twice in the New Testament. Here, and in John chapter 20, verse 16, when Mary Magdalene recognizes the resurrected Jesus, she calls him Rabboni. Like I said, this is a little bit stronger of a word than rabbi, which generally just means teacher. This word, it means closer to my Lord, my master. It can mean my teacher, but it's a little stronger, my Lord, my master. Mark is the only one to use it. Matthew and Luke both use the regular Greek word for Lord, kurios. And kurios is that type of meaning, Lord, master, in the more generic sense. So Barty is using an honorific title for him here, Lord, master, that I might receive my sight. Now, we don't know if Barney was blind since birth, or if he had lost his sight through some illness or accident later in life, we don't know. We just know that at this moment, he was blind, and this is what he was asking Jesus for, to receive or to recover his sight. He wants to see. He wants to use his eyes. Then down in verse 52, then Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Mark shows Jesus' power through his word here, not through a touch or any physical contact or interaction, as Mark has done throughout the book for the various healings. Mark brings out again and again, he laid his hands on him. He touched them. With Jairus' daughter, he took her by the hand. There was physical touch involved in these healings. Not that Jesus needed to touch, but it showed a level of compassion and tenderness. And that was typically how he had done his healing. Mark doesn't reference that. He just says, he just records. He doesn't even record the word of healing. He just says, go your way, your faith has made you well, and records what happened. Matthew does mention specifically Jesus' compassion. He had compassion on them, and that he physically touched both of the blind men, that he touched their eyes, and immediately they received their sight. Luke records Jesus' words of healing without necessarily mentioning his touch. He says that, recover your sight, and immediately they had it. But Mark simply records Jesus' words after the healing. One author notes, Mark emphasized the importance, even the necessity of faith. And this is highlighted by the absence of a description of the healing. Mark is emphasizing the importance or the necessity of faith. All three accounts stress the immediacy of the healing done by Jesus' words. The healing was instantaneous, without time needed for recovery or further treatment. It was because he said it was. You are healed because he said you are healed. Then he gives him this command, go your way. This was not a harsh dismissal, but this was a dismissal to Barney that he no longer needed Jesus' presence for the healing. But this also gave Bartimaeus liberty to choose to follow Jesus or not. Go your way. Your faith has made you well. Now that verb that Jesus has used, that's used here, made well, is again, as we've seen throughout Mark, the word that we often translate saved, sozo. And Mark may be intending a double meaning here, in that while Bartimaeus was saved, healed physically from the blindness, he likely also was saved spiritually through his genuine faith. His spiritual salvation is implied in the rest of the verse in the fact that he began to follow Jesus. And I didn't think about this earlier in the week, but earlier in the chapter, we had a young man coming to him, coming to Jesus, asking, what do I need to do for eternal life? And his problem was that he couldn't give up his wealth. He didn't have the faith that was required. Bartimaeus had nothing. He simply wanted his sight, and he had faith that Jesus could do that. One follows Jesus, one walks away. While Mark simply comments here that that Bartimaeus begins to follow Jesus on the road, Luke remarks that he was glorifying God as he followed Jesus down the road. He knew where the healing came from. He understood it. Bartimaeus begins to follow Jesus. He joins the travelers going down the road, not merely going to Jerusalem for the Passover. One author suggests that the phrase here, followed him on the way, should be understood as a technical term for discipleship. I'm not quite ready to make that claim, but I understand what he's saying. Jesus gave him the opportunity, you're healed. Your faith has made you well, go your way. But he stayed close to the Master. He stayed close to Jesus. And he followed Jesus down the road, on the way. So with this recording and remembering of his name, and this record that he began to follow Jesus after his healing, it seems more certain that he did become a disciple. And one can see a picture of conversion in this account. From sitting by the road in verse 46... to following Jesus down the road in verse 52. Because Jesus called him. And his faith in Jesus. As we begin to close here, this is the second man recorded in Mark to be healed of blindness. Both times, it seems to come as an illustration of things going on. The first one happens in Mark chapter 8, verses 22 to 26. And that was a lesson to the disciples illustrating their partial blindness. Because in that healing, Jesus healed the man kind of strangely, out of the norm, because he did it in stages. He puts his hands on the man's eyes, says, what do you see? See people walking around like trees. He touches his eyes again, and he can see clearly. This comes after discussing with the 12, getting them to realize, oh, we're not seeing things clearly here, and we have a very explicit visual illustration for them. Here we see a man who was being hindered, whom Jesus called, who was cast aside by the crowd, but called by Jesus. A man who has more spiritual sight than the religious leaders in Jerusalem. Bartimaeus recognized Jesus for who he is. He recognized Jesus, the Messiah, who will give sight to the blind and raise the dead. He called to the Lord for mercy. He responded to the Lord's call of him. His call of faith in Jesus brought healing and salvation. So have you recognized Jesus for who he is? Jesus is the Creator God and the only sacrifice for true salvation from sin. Have you called on the Lord for mercy? Have you responded to the Lord's call to salvation? Have you, in faith, confessed Jesus as Lord and believed in his death, burial, and resurrection as the payment for your sin to bring you to life everlasting? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, for I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's something you haven't done. I invite you to do that now. Let's close in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time that we are able to look into your word and to look at the example that you've given us here in Mark of healing Bartimaeus of his blindness. But also the example we have of him following as a disciple, of him answering the call of Christ on his life. Father, I pray that we would, that all here would answer your call of salvation. For any of those here that do not know you, that your Spirit would continue to work on their hearts, to soften it, so that the seed of the gospel can be planted. And Father, we pray for a harvest of those seeds. Father, we pray that even through this passage, we can be energized to go out and continue to share with our friends and neighbors and coworkers, and those in our communities that need to hear. Give us the boldness that we need. Help us to be obedient in this way. We pray these things, Father, in the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.